Papua New Guinea had stopped asylum seekers reaching Australia. BBC News.
And now the concluding part of our classic serial, Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility, dramatised by Helen Edmondson.
Good God! He has been here! It's his card! Look!
So it is. This is good news. Now we know he is certainly in town.
Oh, to think of all the days I've spent waiting in for him. And now he comes and we are out making pointless calls on Mrs. Jennings' tedious acquaintances.
Hush, he will call again tomorrow, I'm sure. Colonel Brandon called as well?
Of course he did. He calls all the time.
Well, what's this now? Did someone leave a card?
Yes, Colonel Brandon.
Please excuse me. I'm going to my room.
It was Mr. Willoughby.
Mr. Willoughby? Oh, what a pity we were out. But this will do her a power of good. I never saw a young woman so desperately in love. If it were down to me, they should be married next week.
Mrs. Jennings, I think we should be a little more prudent in discussing the possibility of a match between Marianne and Mr. Willoughby.
Prudent? Why, whatever for? Everyone knows they're engaged.
Forgive me, but...
Have they not been corresponding ever since she arrived here?
She has written to him, I think, but I'm not aware of her having received a letter in return. And I cannot help but think it strange that he has not thought to call here until today, when we have been here for 2 weeks.
Oh, I'll wager he went to the country for some hunting. No, no, my dear Miss Dashwood. They have been over head and ears in love with each other from the first moment they met.
Here you are, writing again.
It would appear so.
Mrs. Jennings says that dinner will be served early so that we can dress for the party.
What party?
Surely you haven't forgotten. We promised Lady Middleton that we would accompany her to a party tonight.
I can't go.
Marianne, I think it's highly unlikely that he will call this evening when he has already called today. Is your letter for him?
Yes. Is there anything else you would like to know? I came up here for some privacy.
Very well. I'll leave you. You have no confidence in me. I'm sorry for that.
This from you?
What do you mean?
You have not spoken a single word of Edward since we arrived. Though I assume you must be planning to see him. But do I pry into your affairs? No, I do not.
I have not spoken of Edward, but... Forgive me. I didn't mean to...
Eleanor, I will come to the party. If you wish.
I hope you will not mind if I join them at casino. There is a place free, it appears.
By all means, Lady Middleton.
I am sure there will be people you know. Excuse me.
This is insufferable. It's insufferably hot. There's no one here we know.
At least we found seats at last.
Certainly a very grand room.
It is.
Did you ever see as many candles in your life? Eleanor, what is it? Oh, good heavens.
Willoughby. Marianne, he appears to be with somebody, that lady.
Oh, why does he not look at me? I must speak to him.
Don't wait, pray, be composed. Perhaps he has not observed you yet.
He's coming. Willoughby.
Good evening, Miss Dashwood. I trust you're well, and your mother too, I hope. How long have you been in town?
Good God, Willoughby. What is the meaning of this? Will you not look at me? Will you not shake hands with me?
Of course. I did myself the honour of calling at Berkeley Street today and was sorry not to find you at home. My card was not lost, I hope.
But have you not received my letters? Here is some mistake, I'm sure. What's the matter? Tell me, Willoughby, for heaven's sake.
Sit down.
Yes, I had the pleasure of receiving the information of your arrival in town, which you were so good as to send me. Please excuse me.
Sit down.
Go to him. Force him to come to me.
You can't. Try to calm yourself.
Oh, no. Who is she? I have to know.
No, no. Leave him. Please. My dearest, you must wait. This is not a place for explanations. People are looking.
I don't care.
Wait only till tomorrow. I think we should go.
at last. I was starting to think I would be breakfasting alone.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Jennings. Marianne, I fear, will not be able to join us. Oh. She had rather a bad night.
Did she? I'm sorry to hear it. I expect she was very much excited by the party. Oh, I hope you don't mind that I didn't wait up. How was it? Did Mary enjoy herself?
I believe so, though we were forced to leave a little.
Oh, we will go and see her today, and I will have all the gossip from her. I know you too well to expect any from you. Tea, dear?
Yes, please.
And my cousins, the Miss Steeles, are expected with her today. I should like to be there when they arrive.
The Miss Steeles?
A letter, ma'am, for Miss Marian Dashwood.
Is it for me? Give it to me, please.
Why?
Thank you very much,
ma'am.
Good heavens! She looked quite wild. Is she ill?
I'm afraid I don't think we will be able to accompany you on your visits today.
Well, no, not if Miss Marianne is unwell.
Please excuse me. Oh, my darling. Oh, my dear one, don't. Please don't.
He's gone. He's gone. Read it.
My dear madam, I am quite at a loss to discover in what point I could be so unfortunate as to offend you.
I sent him a note at dawn, begging him to explain.
That I should ever have meant more, you will allow to be impossible when you understand that my affections have long been engaged elsewhere. Oh, can it be true?
He is to be married. Within weeks.
What are these?
Of all my letters to him.
The lock of your hair. Oh, Marianne.
I cannot bear it.
But to write in such a tone. So cold, so devoid of every honourable and delicate feeling.
Don't.
Why, he is no gentleman at all.
Do not speak cruelly of him. Please. I beg you.
I won't then. Oh, let me hold you. You must exert yourself now. You must. If not for yourself, then for all who love you.
Poor Mama! How wretched she will be when she hears all of this.
She will be wretched to hear of your suffering, that's all.
Helena! Helena! You and Edward must be happy now. For she will know no happiness in me.
Oh, Marianne, don't, please.
Why has he turned against me? Someone must have told him something, lied about me.
I think we must accept that his character is not what we thought it.
No, I will not believe that.
And surely it is better that we have learned that now. Think of what you would have suffered if he had allowed your engagement to continue for months and then...
Engagement? There has been no engagement. He's not so unworthy as you believe him. He has broken no faith with me.
But I thought... You have been writing to him.
Why should I not? After all that had passed. I felt myself to be as solemnly engaged to him as if the strictest legal covenant had bound us together.
That I can believe. But unfortunately, he did not feel the same.
How is she?
Hello, Mrs. Jennings. She's sleeping now.
I've heard the news.
So it is widely known, then?
It is. A friend of mine told me of it half an hour ago, and she was told by a particular friend of Miss Grey herself. Well, said I, if that is true, he has used a young lady of my acquaintance abominably ill, and I wish with all my soul that his wife may plague his heart out.
This lady, Miss Grey... Is she very rich?
£50,000, my dear. Did you ever see her? A smart, stylish girl, they say, but not handsome. £50,000.
I see.
Well, it don't signify talking, but when a young man comes and makes love to a pretty girl and promises marriage, he has no business to fly off from his word only because he grows poor and a richer girl is ready to have him.
I must do Mr. Willoughby this justice. He has broken no positive engagement with my sister.
Oh, Lord, my dear, don't defend him. No positive engagement? After taking her all over Allenham House and fixing on the very rooms they were to live in? Well, 'tis a true saying about an ill wind. for it will be all the better for the Colonel now. He will have his chance with her at last. And a good thing, too, for who else would have her after this?
Miss Dashwood.
Good evening, Colonel. You have heard, I think.
Yes. How is she?
Her sufferings have been severe. I've just persuaded her to go to bed.
Miss Dashwood, my object, my sole wish in coming here is to be a means of giving comfort. Not comfort, not present comfort, but conviction. Lasting conviction to your sister's mind. I hope you believe that.
I would not doubt your motives in anything, but I'm not quite sure I understand.
You will remember I once told you that your sister reminded me of someone, or perhaps you do not remember.
Oh, but I do.
That lady was called Eliza. She was one of my nearest relations, an orphan from her infancy and under the guardianship of my father. From our earliest years, we were playfellows, and as we grew older, our affection... In short, I cannot remember a time when I did not love Eliza, and she loved me. Her fortune was large, however, and our family estate much encumbered, and when she came of age, my father declared that she must be married to my elder brother. We were distraught. We planned to elope, but at the very last moment, we were discovered. I was banished from the house, and the marriage to my brother took place.
It's awful. I'm so sorry.
I went with my regiment to the East Indies. I thought it would be better for us both if I stayed away. My brother was not a kind man, and when I returned some 5 years later, I discovered that his cruelty had driven her to... that she had fallen, and he had divorced her. Forgive me. It's dangerous even now for me to recollect that time.
Of course.
I set about finding her, and eventually I did. She was in a prison, awaiting trial for debt. She was in the last stage of consumption. Frail, wasted. I could hardly believe she was the beautiful, healthful girl I had adored, still adored. I did everything I could to make her last days comfortable. I was with her in her final hours. She left behind a little girl, the result of her illicit liaison, also called Eliza Williams. I became her guardian. My brother died soon afterwards, and I inherited Delaford. I took her to live there. I called her a distant relative, but I'm well aware that I have generally been suspected of a much nearer connection with her.
I see.
I sent her away to be educated. All seemed well. Then, one day when she was 16, I allowed her to go to Bath with one of her young friends who was attending her father there for his health. I knew the father to be a good man and trusted that he would take care of her. But after a period of several weeks, she disappeared.
Disappeared?
The man had, it seemed, allowed the girls a great deal too much freedom to roam about and make acquaintances where they pleased. I did everything in my power to find her, but it was to no avail.
How dreadful.
Then last October, when we were at Barton Park, on the morning we were supposed to go to Whitwell, a letter arrived from her.
A letter? I remember.
And in it, she told me of her whereabouts. And she told me of the very dire circumstances in which she found herself. I think you can imagine. She was with child. I went to her at once, and I persuaded her to confide in me the name of her seducer.
No. Oh, no, surely.
Mr. John Willoughby. Forgive me for distressing you. He had left her in a rented room, promising to return. He neither returned nor wrote.
This is beyond everything.
Yes.
How is she, Eliza?
I have removed her to the country. Her child was born there. Both well. Though, her whole life now is...
Yes.
Should I have told you this before? I thought of it many times since you arrived in town, but I had been led to believe that your sister and Willoughby were engaged. I felt I shouldn't interfere. Sometimes I have even thought that she might change him.
I understand.
She has been fortunate, thank God. I hope that she will see that now.
I hope I was right to tell you.
It's all right.
Shall I leave you alone?
Yes.
Marianne, would you like to go home? Mother and I are wondering what would be best.
I don't want to be at Barton now. To sit in rooms where I sat with... him.
Yes, I understand. We will put this behind us. And you will recover. I promise you. Thank you for your assistance. Good day.
Good day.
Why, if it isn't my sister!
Good heavens, John! This is a pleasant surprise.
What luck! What brings you to the jeweller's?
I've just been exchanging some more rings for my mother.
We're here to bespoke a seal for Fanny. You shall see her in a moment. She's on her way in.
Good.
I meant to call on you yesterday, but, well, you know what it's like when one first arrives in town. Mrs. Ferris has kept us very busy. But where is Marianne? I hope she is well.
As it happens, she has not been in the best of health lately.
Really?
But she felt well enough to venture out today, for which I'm very glad. She's with our friend, Mrs. Jennings. They went to call on a lady who lives nearby.
Yes, Mrs. Jennings. Your mother has spoken of her in her letters. I understand she is a woman of very good fortune. Fanny, look who I found.
Oh, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fanny. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Yes, and the Middletons too. Are they in town?
They are.
I hope you will introduce me to them all. As my stepmama's relations, I shall be happy to show them every respect. They are excellent neighbours to you in the country, I understand.
Indeed. Their attention to our comfort, their friendliness, is more than I can express.
I'm extremely glad to hear it. And so, you are most comfortably settled in your little cottage and want for nothing. Edward brought us a most charming account of the place, did he not, Fanny? Mm. I dare say you're glad now to be rid of the burden of Norland.
How is Mr. Ferris? Is he in town?
To be sure.
Edward is extremely well. We are awaiting confirmation of his engagement.
His engagement?
The Honourable Miss Morton, only daughter of the late Lord Morton, with £30,000.
Ah.
A very desirable connection on both sides.
Mrs. Ferris, with the utmost liberality, will settle on him £1,000 a year if the match takes place. So you see, it will be a very good thing for him, Eleanor. Best for all concerned, eh?
Of course. Now, here is something which will cheer us all up.
What's that, Mrs. Jennings?
We are all invited to a dinner at your brother's house on Friday.
Really? May I see?
I dare say Sir John and Mary will be there, and my cousin Lucy and Nancy, and Colonel Brandon too.
Ah, excellent. We are all arriving together.
Good evening to you all.
Oh, what a very smart house this is.
Isn't it?
Miss Dashwood.
Good evening, Miss Lucy.
I must speak to you before we go up. Come away a little, will you?
Are you all right?
Oh, Miss Dashwood, pity me. In a moment I shall see the person that all my happiness depends on. That is, to be my mother. I don't know what I shall do.
I'm sure Mr. Ferris will do his best to support you.
But Edward will not be here. I had a note from him this morning saying he would not be. I'm certain it's because he does not trust himself to conceal his affection for me.
I see.
At least your sister-in-law will be kind to me, for she took such a liking to me when we met her.
We're going up now, Eleanor.
Yes, we're coming, Marianne.
Oh, my goodness. I declare I can hardly stand.
Last but not least, Mama, may I present my sisters?
Good evening, Mrs.
Good evening, Mrs. Ferris.
Pleased to meet you, I'm sure. And which is which? Oh,
this is Miss Eleanor Dashwood, and this is Miss Marianne.
Hmm. Well, sit down, why don't you?
Thank you.
Move my chair closer to the fire, John.
Of course, Mama.
I must say, Miss Dashwood, Miss Marianne, you are both looking very fetching tonight.
Thank you, Sir John.
That dress always looked well on you, Eleanor. It's quite an old friend, is it not?
Yes. Thank you, Fanny.
How insufferably rude.
Don't, Marianne.
Take this chair, Miss Marianne.
Thank you, Colonel Brandon. But I don't wish to...
No, 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 I insist. Then the two of you may sit together.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Your sons are not here this evening, Mrs. Ferris. I should like to have met them.
They were otherwise engaged.
Young men, eh? There's no reining them in.
I assure you that if I had insisted they come, they would have done.
Neither of my brothers are in need of reining in, Sir John.
No, no. Very good. Yes.
Mr. Ferris, that is to say, Mr. Edward Ferris, was always a very obedient boy. Our uncle, Mr. Pratt, used to say so all the time. Did he not, Nancy?
Did he?
He used to say he was no trouble at all.
It was always a great comfort to us, was it not, Mama, to know that Edward was so very well disciplined at Mr. Pratt's?
It was.
Lucy is the one I was telling you about, Mama. The one who was so terribly good with little Harry the other day.
Oh, she's good with ours, too.
She is.
Couldn't be without her.
Indeed. Well, I dare say away with children is no bad thing in a girl.
How absurd this is. What is she to them?
Mary, please try to be calm. I was just saying to Mary what a very pretty fire screen that is, Mrs. Dashwood.
Thank you. Yes, the painting is very fine.
I never saw one prettier.
The fire screen? Oh, excuse me, but that is Eleanor's work.
Really?
Sir.
She gave it to you before we left Norland, Fanny. I'm sure you remember.
Why, so she did.
Yes, I do recall that now.
I think we should give credit where credit is due. Do you not think it fine, Mrs. Ferris?
Very pretty, I'm sure.
Do you not think it is something in the Honourable Miss Morton's style of painting, Mama? She paints most delightfully. How beautifully that last landscape was done.
Beautifully indeed. But she does everything well.
This is admiration of a very particular kind. Who knows or cares for Miss Morton? It is Eleanor of whom we speak.
Marianne. Miss Morton is Lord Morton's daughter.
Come, Marianne, dear. Let us go and look at the pianoforte, if that is all right, John.
By all means. You must play something if you wish to.
Oh, yes. Good idea.
How dare they behave like that to you?
It doesn't matter. Don't give them the satisfaction. Think of where you are.
Oh, Colonel.
I hope you're all right.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry, Colonel. You must think me quite mad.
No, not at all. You were defending your sister. There is no cause for shame in that. Quite the opposite, in fact.
My dear Miss Dashwood, my dear friend, I'm so glad to find you alone.
Good morning, Lucy. Please sit down.
I have come to talk to you of my happiness. Could anything be so flattering as Mrs. Ferris' way of treating me yesterday? Oh, you know how I dreaded the thought of seeing her. But the very moment I was introduced, there was such an affability in her behaviour as really should seem to say she had quite took a fancy to me. Were you not quite struck by it?
She was certainly very civil to you.
Civil? Only civil? I saw a vast deal more. Such kindness as fell to the share of nobody but me.
I think you should be a little careful, Lucy. Undoubtedly, if she had known of your engagement to Edward, nothing could be more flattering than her treatment of you, but that was not the case.
I guessed you would say that. But you shan't talk me out of my satisfaction.
I really didn't mean to.
I'm sure now that it will all end well, and there will be no difficulties at all.
Come in.
Mr. Ferris, ma'am.
Oh.
Edward!
Lucy. Miss Steele, forgive me, Miss Dashwood. I thought you were alone. I didn't mean to.
Not at all. Sit down, please.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes. Oh, well, thank you. And you?
Yes, quite well, thank you.
And you, Miss Steele?
I'm very well.
I thought I should come and see you, as I haven't called since I arrived in town.
Yes. Marianne is resting today.
Oh.
We spent a very pleasant evening with Fanny and John yesterday, did we not, Lucy?
Yes.
I was very glad to have the opportunity of meeting your mother at last.
Oh, so was I. I was delighted with her, and she with me, I think.
Ah, yes. I think I must be going.
Oh, of course.
I have...
Yes.
I must go too. I will walk out with you, if I may, Mr. Ferris.
Yes, by all means. You will give my best to...
Yes.
Well, good day, Miss Dashwood.
Good day, Mr. Ferris.
Miss Dashwood, I'm sure I will see you soon.
Yes, good day, Miss Lucy. Oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord.
Miss Dashwood. Oh, you are home. Oh, good. Oh, I must sit down.
What is it, Mrs. Jennings? Nothing bad, I hope. Oh.
Mr. Edward Ferris, it seems, has been engaged above this 12 months to my cousin Lucy. There's for you, my dear. And not a creature knowing a syllable of the matter except Nancy.
Who told you this?
Why, Dr. Donovan. He'd been with your sister-in-law all morning, for she had fallen into the most violent hysterics when she had learned of the engagement. And Mrs. Ferris had been sent for and told, and she had fallen into hysterics too.
I see.
It seems it was Nancy who blurted the whole thing out, and that I can believe, for though she is a sweet, good-natured creature, she's no conjurer, if you take my meaning. She thought they would be pleased. You can imagine what a shock she had when your sister-in-law started screaming. And poor Lucy, too, for they shouted at her dreadfully and drove her into a fainting fit.
It is a lie. Tell me it is. It is a mistake.
No, it's not.
But it must be. Edward loves you, and you love him. You've always loved each other.
Don't distress yourself.
Oh, no. No. It's Willoughby all over again.
No, it isn't. It is nothing like as bad as that.
How can you say that?
Because Edward has done nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong? He led you to believe that...
No, he never spoke a single word to me to make me think that he...
He was keeping a lock of your hair in his
no,
ring.
No, he wasn't. It was Lucy's hair.
This is too awful.
He has been engaged to Lucy for some years. The only thing I feel I can reproach him for is that he did not leave Norland when he began to have feelings for me and when he realised, as he must have done, that those feelings were returned.
How can you be so forgiving? So calm? How long have you known about this?
I have known it 4 months. Lucy confided in me the first day we met at Barton.
4 months? And you didn't tell me?
I couldn't. I promised her I would keep her secret.
But...
I have very often wished to undeceive yourself and our mother. Once or twice I have even attempted it, but... so much has happened, and... it does not grieve me now as it did.
I cannot understand you at all. Is this how you respond to the loss of someone who was so dear to you? Why, you could not have loved him. You could not have truly loved him.
I loved him. Please do not... I loved him. I love him still. But I love you too, and Mother. And I was glad to spare you from the pain of knowing what I felt. That alone has made me feel better. Please believe me, this composure, which you so despise, has only been achieved through constant and painful exertion.
Oh, Eleanor. Eleanor. You've made me hate myself forever. You have been my only comfort. Born with me in all my misery. And is this my gratitude? Because your merit cries out upon my own behaviour, I try to do it all away. Forgive me. Please, forgive me.
There is nothing to forgive.
Tell me what I can do to help you. I will do anything. Truly.
Then I would only ask that you never speak of their engagement with the least degree of bitterness. Be cordial to Lucy and to Edward.
I will then. Yes. I will try.
It is a wretched business. Wretched.
We're sorry you have all been so distressed, John.
Will you have some more tea, Mr. Dashwood?
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Jennings.
I'll do it.
So, what will happen now? Has Mr. Ferris seen his mother?
Oh, yes. He was sent for and he came. But I'm sorry to relate what ensued. I never thought Edward so stubborn and unfeeling before. His mother explained to him her liberal designs in the case of his marrying Miss Morton, and then she represented to him the certain penury that must attend him if he persisted in his low connection. His own £2,000 should be his all. She would never see him again, and if he entered into any profession with a view of gaining better support, she would do all in her power to prevent him from advancing in it.
Gracious God, can this be possible?
Yes, Marianne. Well, may you wonder at the obstinacy which could resist such arguments as these.
I meant... yes.
But resist them he did, cost him what it might.
Then he has acted like an honest man. I beg your pardon, Mr. Dashwood, but I have some little concern in this, for Lucy Steele is my cousin, and I believe there is not a better kind of girl in the world, nor one who more deserves a good husband.
I mean no disrespect to you, madam, nor to Miss Lucy Steele. But in the present case, you know, the connection must be impossible.
Where is Edward now?
I don't know, Eleanor. He is dismissed forever from his mother's notice.
Well, he should be welcome to bed and board at my house. And so I would tell him if I could. It isn't fit that he should be living about at lodgings and taverns.
How kind you are, Mrs. Jennings.
Very kind.
The Norfolk estate, which brings in 2,000 a year, will now go to his younger brother, Mr. Robert Ferrars. I left Mrs. Ferrars with her lawyer this morning, talking over the business. Poor Edward. The humiliation. I feel for him sincerely.
Miss Dashwood! Miss Marianne!
Colonel Brandon!
Forgive me for stopping you in the street.
Oh, we are just setting out to do some errands for Mrs. Jennings, but if you...
No, I will not keep you long. I was only calling to ask if you might happen to know where Mr. Edward Ferrars is now lodging. He is a friend of yours, I think.
He is, and oh. I know he's lodging with a friend on Pall Mall. I had a letter from Miss Lucy Steele.
Ah, and is it true that he intends to take orders?
Yes, and then he will look for a living. They cannot marry until he has one.
Why, Colonel?
I wonder if you would put a proposition to him on my behalf. I would like to offer him the living at Delaford. It has just now become vacant. The last curate did not make more than 200 a year, so it would not, I fear, afford him a very comfortable income, but I hope it would be sufficient.
Good heavens!
I met him at Sir John's lately, and I thought him honest and sincere.
He is both.
And as a friend of yours, I should like to be of help to him. I think you know how deeply my own history has made me abhor the impolitic cruelty of attempting to divide two young people who have long been attached.
Yes, I understand, and I will speak to him as soon as I can.
Thank you.
I hardly know what to say.
Colonel Brandon means it as a testimony of his concern for what has lately passed. A concern which I am sure Marianne, myself, and all your friends must share.
Can it be possible?
The unkindness of your own relations has made you astonished to find friendship anywhere.
No. No. Not to find it in you. For I cannot be ignorant that to you, to your goodness, I owe it all.
You are mistaken. I do assure you that you owe it entirely to your own merit and to Colonel Brandon's discernment of it. I have had no hand in it. This is his address.
Thank you. I will... go to him at once.
Have you taken steps towards your ordination?
Yes. I'm going to Oxford tomorrow to see the bishop. How long will you stay on in town?
We leave next week. We're travelling back to Barton with Mrs. Jennings. We intend to break the journey by staying a few days at her younger daughter's house near Bristol. Her daughter and family are abroad at present, so the house will be at our disposal. I think it will make a welcome change for Marianne.
Yes. How far is Delaford from Barton?
Not many miles. I wish you well, Edward. And Lucy, too.
Why, it's lovely, Mrs. Jennings. What a pretty room. In the gardens, they look beautiful.
Oh, yes, they are very extensive. My daughter takes great pride in them.
We must go and explore, Eleanor.
Oh, tomorrow, perhaps. My legs are so stiff from sitting in the carriage.
All the more reason to go.
There's a pretty little temple somewhere, though I've never seen it myself.
How romantic.
Oh, here's a letter from Colonel Brandon. He says he will be on his way to Delaford on Wednesday and he will call on us here.
That's good news.
We shall have some company after all. Now, I'll go and see which rooms have been made ready, and we shall have some tea.
Thank you.
There's a glass house. Look, you can see it through the trees. Mm.
I like it here.
So do I. And to think we're not so very far away from Barton. In a few days, we will be with Mama.
Yes. What county are we in?
Somersetshire, I believe.
I thought we must be.
Marianne, Willoughby's estate is many miles from here.
Is it?
Yes, and I recently heard that he has gone abroad for a time with...
His wife?
Marianne...
I'm fine, really. I'm going to get changed for my walk.
I'm so very glad to see you.
How are you, Mrs. Jennings?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you, but I'm afraid Miss Marianne is not.
Miss Marianne?
Oh, the doctor is with her now.
What's wrong with her? Nothing serious, surely?
Well, I very much fear that it might be. She was fine when we arrived here, but then she would insist on going for a walk, and in the evening, too. She covered every part of the grounds. Her clothes were quite damp when she returned. And then yesterday, she started to feel strange, and Miss Dashwood sent her up to bed. And last night, she became very feverish. And then I insisted that we send for Dr. Harris first thing.
I see.
Oh, I'm so worried. I'm not at all sure that she will have the strength to... Oh, they're coming down.
Thank you, Doctor. Yes, I'll expect you in the morning. Colonel Brandon...
How is she?
He's concerned about her, isn't he?
A little, yes. She has a fever, and he fears she might have developed some sort of an infection.
An infection? Oh, good Lord.
But he has given her some medicine, and he is confident that within some hours her condition will improve.
That's encouraging.
Yes. How long are you able to stay, Colonel? I'm so sorry.
No, don't apologise. I was going to start for Delaford this afternoon, but now... I would like to stay until Miss Marianne is well again.
Oh, yes, Colonel, please stay for as many nights as you wish. Mama! Mama!
Marianne, hello. Hello. Hello, dear. What a long time you've been asleep.
No! No! Tell her she must not go to London!
Marianne?
No! If she goes to London, I will not see her again. Tell her!
Oh, my God, how hot you are. Oh, my goodness.
Mama! Mama!
Colonel Brandon, thank goodness you're still up.
Is she worse?
Yes, a great deal worse. She's so hot, I would not have thought it possible. And her pulse, it has grown so faint. She's not herself. She's crying out for her mama.
I see. Well, then, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my servant immediately to fetch Dr. Harris.
Yes, yes, thank you.
And I myself am going to leave at once for Barton. I will bring your mother back with me.
Will you? Would you?
Well, I should have thought of going hours ago. I'm afraid it will take some time, but I think under the circumstances...
Yes, I agree. Please, bring her back.
It's all right, my darling.
I feel strange.
You've had a fever.
Have I? What time is it?
It's late, dear. Very late. But you don't need to worry about that.
What's that noise?
There's a storm. I'm sure it will be over soon. Would you like some water?
Yes.
There now. That's it.
Thank you.
That's it. You go back to sleep now. Don't worry about anything. Just sleep. Oh, my goodness. They're here already. Mama!
Miss Dashwood.
Mr. Willoughby!
Forgive me, but I have to know. Is Marianne... Is your sister... Please, tell me!
I don't understand. Why are you here?
Last night, in Drury Lane lobby, I ran against Sir John Middleton. He told me that Marianne Dashwood was lying seriously ill with a putrid fever, her danger most imminent. I left London at first light. I have to know, is it true?
It is true. At least it was. I now believe, I think, that she is out of danger.
Oh, thank God.
Now I must ask you to leave.
No, please, Miss Dashwood, allow me to speak to you for half an hour, 10 minutes
no,
even.
No, I must go back to her.
Please, I entreat you. I entreat you.
I will remain in here for 2 minutes and no longer. I am quite sure Mrs. Jennings would not want you in the house.
No. No, of course she would not.
What is it you want, Mr. Willoughby?
I cared for her. Truly and sincerely, I need her to know that. Will you tell her? I want to try to explain.
Marianne has long forgiven you, if that is what concerns you. As for apologies or explanations, I cannot think that they serve a purpose now.
I was going to ask her to marry me. That last afternoon at Barton. That's how much I cared about her. But that very morning, a change in my circumstances occurred which...
Go on.
My aunt, Mrs. Smith, had been informed somehow of an affair of mine. I imagine you've heard about it. She insisted, good soul that she is, that I marry the girl concerned. When I told her that would not be possible, she dismissed me from her house and made it clear to me that I would no longer inherit a penny of her fortune. It was too much. I panicked. I had debts, Miss Dashwood. I have always been expensive. I had reason to believe myself secure of my present wife if I chose to address her. And so, instead of asking Marianne to make me the happiest man alive, I found myself telling her that I was leaving for London at once.
And why didn't you tell her that you would not return? Why didn't you tell her of what you intended to do in London? You condemned her to weeks of hope and longing.
Yeah, I was a coward. Yes. And a fool. I know that now. The happiest hours of my life were spent with her. I've not known happiness since.
Well, I am glad to know that you were sincerely attached to her. But you should not have been paying court to her at all, or to anyone, given what had passed between yourself and Miss Eliza Williams.
I must ask you to consider from whom you heard that tale. It cannot have been told to you impartially.
Are you really saying that there is anything you can say to explain away a single part of your guilt in that dreadful business?
No. No. Although I could say that it was she who pursued me with such a passion which could not be withstood.
Mr. Willoughby.
And that I did not know of her condition when I left her.
I will not hear any more. I'm going to return to my sister now.
Very well. That letter. That horrible letter in which I broke with her irrevocably.
What of it?
It was not from me. Tell her that. I beg of you.
What? Whatever can you...
I wrote it. Yes. But the words were not mine. They were my wife's.
Your wife?
She saw the note. The note that Marianne sent me the morning after that dreadful party. She dictated to me what I must reply. Now you have a sense of my wife's true nature, the cruelty, the haughty disdain. I was ashamed to put my name to it.
You were very wrong to speak of your wife in such a way. You made your choice. You took her fortune and she took your name. She has a claim to your respect. Now I must insist that you leave. Colonel Brandon will be back at any moment with my mother.
Colonel Brandon? He has been here?
Yes, and we have been very glad of his loyalty.
This is to be my punishment, then. The thing I dread beyond all else is hearing of your sister's marriage, and if it should be to him, of all people...
Goodbye, Mr. Willoughby.
Will you give me your hand?
Yes.
Tell her. Goodbye, Miss Dashwood. God bless you.
Mama!
Is she?
She's all right. Oh, the fever is broken. I think she'll be all right.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. Oh. Carefully, my darling. Don't rush.
Allow me to assist you.
Thank you. There now.
Well, isn't this a happy sight? You are back amongst us at last.
It's such a relief to be downstairs.
Do you feel all right, dear?
Yes. Not too bad, really.
Miss Marianne, I can hardly express how glad I am to see you.
Thank you, Colonel.
And thank you for everything you've done. Eleanor has told me of all the trouble you've been to on my behalf.
There's no need to thank me. I wish I could have done more.
Eleanor?
Hmm?
Oh, here you are.
I was just looking for my woolen shawl. I thought Marianne might need it.
Quite right. We are going to have to be very careful with her.
We are.
I'm glad to have a chance to speak to you alone. I have something very particular to tell you.
Oh?
In the carriage, on the journey from Barton, Colonel Brandon confessed to me that he is desperately in love with Marianne. Do you not think it wonderful?
Yes.
Oh, Eleanor. I hope you were not... I was very sorry to get your letter about Edward, about the engagement. And I was so relieved and reassured to know that you had taken it so well.
Yes.
I hope you were not thinking that Colonel Brandon might perhaps...
No, I wasn't, truly.
Because I think that of the two of you, Marianne would be happier with him.
I cannot think of a better, a more worthy husband for Marianne.
He is sitting with her now and he is reading to her.
But, Mama, surely it is what Marianne feels that matters most. Her love for Willoughby ran very deep.
Oh, Willoughby. That worthless young man. The Colonel is superior to him in every way.
I only mean to say that Marianne's heart is not yet free, and nothing hasty should be said or done.
I see. Yes. I very much regret my imprudence regarding Willoughby. I hope you know that.
I don't doubt it for a moment. Mama, Willoughby came here. And I think I ought to tell her what he said. Soon, before we go home. So that she can take this time to come to terms with everything that's passed.
Do you remember the day we first arrived here?
I do.
It meant nothing to us then. Now there is nowhere else I would rather be. Thank you, Eleanor.
For what?
I've done you so many wrongs of late.
No, you haven't.
When I look back on my behaviour these last few months, all I can see is selfishness. Even when I learnt that you were suffering as much as I was, I continued to indulge my emotions, to be imprudent, to be careless. I brought my illness on myself.
Marianne.
I did. If I'd died, it would have been self-destruction. And what misery I would have caused you then. And what distress I have caused you.
Doesn't matter.
Everything is going to change now. I shall now live solely for my family. If I mix in other society, it will be only to show that my spirit is humbled, my heart amended. As for Willoughby, I'm glad, very glad you told me what he said.
Really?
It means a lot to me, to know that I was not entirely deceived in him. I will never forget him. But my remembrance shall be regulated. It shall be checked by reason, by religion, and by constant employment.
Tea, Miss Marianne?
Yes, please.
Is this all the post there is, Izzy?
Yes, miss. I sent everything on that came before.
Nothing interesting, dear?
No news at all, really.
Oh, I almost forgot to say... I suppose you know that Mr. Ferrers is married.
What? He's married?
Yes, miss.
Who told you that, Izzy?
Oh, I saw him myself, ma'am, this morning in Exeter when I was doing the shopping. Him and his lady too, Miss Steele, as was. They were stopping in a chaise at the door of the New London Inn. She happened to look up as I passed by, and she recognised me, and inquired after you all, and bid me I should send her compliments and Mr. Ferrers too. They're on their way further down.
And Mr. Ferrers was in the carriage with her?
Yeah. I just see him leaning back, but he didn't look out. He never was a gentleman much for talking. I hope I haven't spoken out of turn, ma'am.
No.
No, you haven't, Izzy. Not at all. We knew that it would happen.
Yes.
I think I'll go upstairs for a while.
Eleanor. Oh, dear. I thought that she was over it, but her face...
She isn't over it at all.
Shall I go to her?
No, Mama. She wants to be alone.
Marianne.
I hope I didn't disturb you.
Not at all. It's lovely to hear you playing again. Do go on. Oh, I think it's time I got back to some sewing.
Yes. Dinner won't be long.
I'd forgotten I'd started this.
Who's this? Someone coming up the path.
Is there?
I wonder...
Oh, good heavens.
Who is it?
It's... Eleanor, it's Edward.
Edward?
Oh, no.
Good evening, Izzy. Are they at home?
Yes, sir. Go through.
Good evening.
Edward, what a pleasant surprise. How are you? Congratulations. We wish you joy.
Yes, we wish you joy.
Please, sit down.
Thank you.
It has been a good day for travelling, has it not? It is very dry for the time of year.
Yes.
I hope you left Mrs. Ferrars well.
I did, thank you.
It is Mrs. Ferrars in Plymouth?
Plymouth? No, my mother is in London.
I meant to inquire after Mrs. Edward Ferrars.
Perhaps you mean my brother. You mean Mrs. Robert Ferrars.
Mrs. Robert Ferrars? Mrs. Robert Ferrars?
Yes. Perhaps you don't know that that my brother is lately married to the youngest, to Miss Lucy Steele.
What?
They were married last week and are now at Dawlish. My brother always wanted to see the place.
Then and... you are not... I'm sorry.
I...
Go to her, Edward. No. Oh.
Eleanor.
I'm sorry, forgive me. It's just... You are not married.
No, but I hope to be. I hope to be married to you.
We must drink a toast to Edward and Eleanor.
Edward and Eleanor. I've never been so happy in my whole life. I think I will cry again.
Oh, Marianne, don't please her, I will.
But how did Miss Lucy come to be engaged to your brother?
I'm not sure I understand entirely. I know my mother sent Robert to visit Lucy while I was away in Oxford to ask her to release me from our engagement. They must have found that they liked one another.
I see.
My brother has always been susceptible to flattery.
At which Lucy is an expert.
Yes.
And I suppose she knew that your brother would now inherit the family fortune.
Yes, I'm afraid that must have played a part in it.
Whatever happened, we must wish them well.
We must.
And what did your mother say to all this?
I didn't wait to find out. As soon as I received Lucy's letter breaking off our engagement, I started here.
She'll have to forgive you now.
I'm hopeful that in time she will acknowledge me once again.
I'm sure she will.
Oh, Eleanor, I can hardly believe this is happening.
Neither can I.
My engagement to Lucy, it has been such a burden upon me. I was only 18 when it began,
I know.
I knew nothing of the world or of women. I fancied I loved her.
I understand.
But every year the attachment weighed more heavily upon me, and I regretted it more and more. Never more so than when I met you and learned what it really means to love. I have exchanged misery for the greatest happiness imaginable.
A monstrous pretty bride you have there, Mr. Ferrars.
Yes, I'm a lucky man, Sir John. No one knows that more than I.
Congratulations, Mrs. Ferrars.
Thank you, Lady Middleton.
When do you move into the parsonage?
Not for a little while yet. What do you think, Colonel?
I think the work will be finished within a fortnight. In the meantime, they will be staying with me.
Eleanor. May I speak to you alone for a moment?
Of course, Marianne.
Oh, I'm sure she has. She's very artistic.
Barton will not be the same without you.
Don't worry, we will only be 3 miles away.
How would you feel if I were to follow you to Delaford?
What do you mean?
The Colonel. Colonel Brandon has asked me to marry him. And I've said yes.
Oh, Marianne.
He asked me just this morning. We're going to talk to Mama tomorrow. I wasn't going to tell you, but I'm hopeless at keeping secrets from you.
Oh, I'm so happy. But are you sure?
Yes. I couldn't be more sure. You would be proud of me. I've taken my time. I've deliberated and considered, even about the difference in our ages. But most of all, my heart has come to love him. There is no one so understanding of my nature except you. No one so loyal. No one who makes me feel more at peace in the world.
Oh, let me hug you.
So you don't mind that we shall be neighbours?
Mind? I cannot think of anything more wonderful. Oh, my darling, darling sister.
In Sense and Sensibility, Eleanor was played by Amanda Hale and Marianne by Olivia Hallinan. Colonel Brandon by Blake Ritson. Edward by Henry Devas and Willoughby by Ben Lamb. Mrs. Jennings was played by Bridget Forsyth. Mrs. Dashwood, Deborah McAndrew. Sir John, Conrad Nelson. Lady Middleton, Rosina Carbone. Nancy, Victoria Brazier. And Lucy, Caitlin Thorburn. John Dashwood was played by Andonis James Anthony, Fanny, Lisa Brooks, and Mrs. Ferrers, Alexandra Matthey. Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility was dramatised by Helen Edmondson and directed in Salford by Nadia Molinari. And you might like to know that there's a collection of programmes about Jane Austen and her work on the BBC Radio 4 website. After the news, we'll join Mariella Frostrup in the Lake District for a special edition of Open Book. That's in a couple of minutes.